Hi, everyone. My name is Bo Henderson. I'm creative director here at Family Talk, and I'm here with my good friend,
Efraín García, diseño gráfico.
And we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Aquí en Family Talk, les queremos desear un Feliz Navidad y próspero Año Nuevo.
Man, I sound good in Spanish.
Today on Family Talk.
Dude, what's up with you and Liz?
Nothing. Nothing? Look at you getting all tight. You got extra veins popping out that wasn't even there before.
Mike, I'm just tired of her, okay? All right, I said it. I'm just tired of her junk.
Her junk? Dude, you married her junk and all. It's not like some sort of buffet where you get to pick and choose what you want. You get all of her, bruh. And you better not have somebody on the side.
So you're trying to do CPR on my personal life now?
Okay, yeah, I'm a paramedic, but I'm also a Christian, which means I help people while I'm helping people.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to today's edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, and the clip you just heard is from the movie War Room, and it's 100% correct. When you get married, you're marrying the whole person, junk and all, which means that even in the most difficult of circumstances, you've got to stick it out together. Even in hard times, prayer can change things. Today we're going to continue our broadcast of the best shows of 2015 with the conclusion of an interview Dr. Meg Meeker did with the Kendrick brothers at the International Christian Retail Show in Orlando, Florida. No doubt you recognize the Kendrick brothers from their previous releases, Courageous, Fireproof, Facing the Giants, and Flywheel. In this interview, the Kendrick brothers were joining Dr. Meg Meeker to discuss War Room, their most recent installment in their movie-making franchise. War Room calls on all believers to have the courage to fight for their family in prayer, and many of you contacted us about this interview because you resonated with that theme. So let's listen now as Dr. Meeker continues her conversation with Alex and Stephen Kendrick on one of the most popular broadcasts of 2015, here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Alex and Stephen Kendrick, thank you so much for coming back and talking about War Room. I can't wait. Can you just give us, without giving the movie away, an overview of the movie? The movie is about a couple. Tony and Elizabeth, take it from there.
Yep. War Room follows the analogy, starting with the beginning of the movie, of a military war room. A military war room is where the leaders will meet. They look at maps and grids and information of what the enemy is doing and where they're located. They then come up with a battle strategy, call in the resources, and disseminate that plan to the leaders and troops in the field, then to engage the enemy.
Very pragmatic.
That's right. And in spiritual terms, we too often are guilty of charging into our battles, cultural, personal, relational, whatever it is, with our own logic, and we get in over our head. We start getting shot at and losing our own personal battles, if you will. Then we run to God and saying, God, where are you? What are you doing? Wrong. What we must first do is go to our war room, or our prayer closet, if you will, and pray to the Lord first, and then engage the enemy. And the Lord, through biblical principles and His Word, is the weapons that we use to face our enemy, and we have a very real enemy. And so we are encouraging people in this movie, spend time with the Lord. The prayers of a righteous man accomplish much, I should say, or women. The prayers of a righteous man or woman accomplishes much. He says, seek me and you'll find me if you seek me with all your heart, which means you cannot be lukewarm. Mm-hmm. And so when we do that first and pray scripture over ourselves, our children, our spouses, our homes, our nation, then God begins to move. We cannot seek God with a lukewarm heart, with lukewarm motives, as a, by the way, God, we just need you to step in here. No, the Lord says, I'm worthy of, because I'm God, I'm worthy of your total focus of the being the first priority in your life. So the movie follows a family who are figuring this out. The husband and wife are struggling. They're fighting. They live in a well-to-do neighborhood.
Are they Christians at the beginning of the movie?
They would say they are, and they attend church, but their hearts are not in it. And when things go south, they, like many people, they blame God. I don't understand what God's doing. They blame each other and they fight. And what our real enemy does is he gets the husband and wife to look at each other as an enemy. Mm-hmm. Well, your spouse is not your enemy. They need prayer and they need help, but they are not your enemy.
Parents.
That's correct.
That's right.
And the children are collateral damage, right? So the daughter, the 10-year-old daughter, is hurt that her father seems disengaged, not interested in what she's doing. You know, she wants to jump rope. Her father is disappointed in her. He wants her to play basketball, right? So he expresses a little bit of disgust. He's finding his identity in his job over his role as husband or father. And then the wife is bitter and frustrated. So she's trying to fix her husband by nagging him. And we all know how well that works. And so this elderly prayer warrior comes in and says, you are not fighting the right way. And she says, oh, if there's anything we do well, it's fight. And she goes, no, you don't know how to fight. You're fighting the wrong enemy with the wrong weapons. So she goes, if you'll give me 1 hour a week, I will teach you how to fight. And she starts talking about how I spend time every day praying over my children and my pastor and my nation. And the young wife says, I don't have that much time to pray every day. And she goes, but you obviously have time to fight with your husband. And so
pray, not fight.
That's right. And so as she walks her through this strategy, the wife is the hero in this movie, but the husband steps up by the end. The wife intercedes for her daughter and her husband and begins fighting the right way, trying to love her husband in spite of the fact he doesn't deserve it, loves her husband and fights for his heart, interceding with the Lord. And we see God begin to do things that only God can do.
Wonderful. Okay. This is a movie that can have extraordinary international worldwide impact. And because it's a fierce movie, it's a passionate movie, it's a fiery movie. I think it's your fieriest movie yet. So for those out there who thought that Courageous was something or Fireproof was something, hold on. War Room. This is a story about a typical American couple. Life looks great. They've got a healthy daughter. Life is going along pretty well, but life really is pretty horrible.
That's right.
The internal guts of their life are horrible, and something's wrong, and they know something's wrong, and they apply what they know to be American logic.
That's right.
Right.
Okay, I'm going to duke it out with my husband because he's not doing the right thing, so I'm going to get in his face, I'm going to tell him what he's doing wrong, and I'm going to stand my ground and make it work. Wrong. It doesn't work.
No.
Right?
No.
And this couple, this lovely young lady, meets an extraordinary woman, Miss Clara, who is a woman I feel chases after God.
Yes.
This woman makes no bones about it. She wants God. She wants him in a serious way. And at one point, she screams out to God from her prayer room.
Yes.
Tell us about her war room, not her prayer room.
Well, it is our tendency to fight our battles in our own energy based upon our own logic. And Jesus said, apart from him, apart from abiding relationship with him, we can accomplish nothing. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to be able to change anybody's heart in our own energy. You can't change your husband or your wife's heart, your children's heart, your pastor's heart, anyone else's. But the Lord can. And Scripture repeatedly communicates that we need to engage in prayer first. The Apostle Paul says in 1 Timothy 2, first of all, above all things, I want there to be prayers, entreaties, supplications, thanksgivings be made for all men, for those that are in authority over you. We need to be praying for our president, for our Congress, for our Supreme Court, but also so that we can live the kind of lives that God's called us to live. And so if you look in Scripture, Esther fought her battle in prayer first. She called the people to 3 days of prayer and fasting before she went before the king. You look at Peter in prison. What did the church do? They didn't stand around the prison and try to bail him out. They got on their knees, cried out to God, and God intervened in that situation.
Yeah. It's almost as if God is this incredibly powerful, I don't want to say caged beast, but there's this energy, this ferocity. Prayer unleashes little trickles of that into our lives, over our country. Why don't we pray more?
That's exactly right. And if you ask most people, do you pray for our president? Well, none or very little will be the answer.
I don't like him.
That's right. Yeah. And so
I'm not going to pray for him.
Yeah, that's right, which is a selfish way to look at this. And so the Lord says, you know, I can do exceedingly more than you ever ask or imagine. Seek me. The prayers of a righteous man accomplishes much. And so why don't we seek him? It's partly because we're selfish. We want convenient prayer. We want comfortable prayer. We want feel-good prayer. We want instant results. But even more than that, prayer is work. And we should look at it that way. You know, when you go into planning your home, you're designing a home, you work on it to get it to a certain place. When you want to work on a relationship with your boss, you contemplate this and work on it to honor your boss in certain ways to improve your relationship. The same thing is true with the Lord. Honor the Lord and seek him. When a man's trying to win the heart of a woman early in a relationship, what does he do? He studies her. He pours a lot. You know, what does she like? What does she not like? What's her favorite foods? All this. He studies her to build that relationship. The Lord wants to be sought. We must seek the Lord in prayer. Now, when it comes to doing warfare in prayer, not only do we have a very real God who wants to be sought, we have a very real enemy. So there's someone to stand against and there's someone to fight with. You fight with the Lord and stand against
the enemy. Do you think people really believe that?
many people believe that, or at least they're taught in their lukewarm, non-Bible-believing churches, that the devil is, you know, a representative of evil. But if you look in Scripture, he is talked about throughout the Old Testament. I mean, Adam and Eve would say there's a real devil. David would say there's a real devil. Job would say there's a real devil. But Jesus himself said, I saw Satan fall from heaven like lightning. He engaged the enemy. He talked to him. He rebuked him. Yeah. He taught against him. And if people don't believe that Satan exists, he's already conning them.
Because you don't go to war if you don't believe there's a clear enemy. And I think that people will say, oh, yeah, evil's out there. But I think that, and I see this with parents, with their kids, they don't believe their kids are being fought over. And they are.
Absolutely.
And I wonder if we don't use prayer as a real weapon because we don't really feel that there's a distinct enemy that needs to be slain. And I wonder if that plays into, because I earlier asked you, why don't we pray more? Why don't we all have war rooms?
Well, the enemy likes to tell us that he's not there, right? You know, he wants us to believe that he's not there, that he's not a threat, and that he's not the problem. He wants us to look at the wrong target to shoot at. So he wants husbands and wives not praying against him. He wants husbands and wives fighting each other, looking at each other as the enemy. And when we do that, we're shooting the wrong person. We're shooting part of ourselves, in fact. We're shooting the wrong person, and then everyone around us, including our children, are going to be part of the collateral damage. So the enemy's greatest lie is convincing people he doesn't exist or is not the real threat. And so, so what does he do? And even starting in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve are blaming each other. You know, and the enemy's pointing at someone else. It was your fault. It's your fault. You know, he does three things. He distracts, deceives, and divides. Mm-hmm. Satan distracts us from the real focus. He deceives us according to what truth is. And if Satan can redefine truth in our culture, we're in a huge mess. That's part of what's going on. And then he divides us. He divides us from each other and divides us from the Lord. And if he can do that, he's won half the battle. And so a wise believer, a wise Christian will say, first of all, I need to plug in and spend more time with the Lord and in his word than anything else, because that's where wisdom and discernment come from. The Lord, you know, James 1:5, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally, but he must believe. And so to gain wisdom, I must first spend time in God's word and seek him on a regular basis. If you want to know how strong your spiritual life is, look at how strong your prayer life is, because those two go together.
You ask why people don't pray. One is pride. We tend to trust in ourselves. One is a lack of faith. We don't really believe that God is listening, or
right,
he's able, or he cares, or he's understanding, or willing to answer our prayers. If you read just the Gospel of Luke and you ask the question, what did Jesus teach us about prayer? What did he model about prayer? He's consistently not only getting up early in the morning to go spend time with the Father, but he's also saying, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to you? He already knows your needs before you ask. He's trying to instill faith in people to believe that we have a living, powerful, caring, loving, willing God in heaven who wants to answer our prayers. You know, he didn't send Jesus to die on the cross, tear the veil, and intercede on our behalf just so he could say no to our prayers.
Right.
He set up this whole system so that we, through a relationship with Christ, could pray to our Heavenly Father, and he could be glorified mightily through answered prayer. Jesus said, when our prayers are answered, two great things happen. The Father is glorified in the Son, and our joy is made full. And so God is mightily glorified in our generation when a church member can walk up to a lost person or even another church member and say, here's what I prayed and here's how God worked. And the miracle of that points back to we have a living, powerful God in heaven who's ruling.
You know, we often talk about, you know, in this day and age, Christians seem to be pushed farther and farther apart, further and further apart from secular progressives. And we can see that. You know, we've been alive long enough to have seen this. And I wonder if, as we've sort of blurred the lines with what's bad, and we blurred the lines with what's evil, and evil is good and good is evil, and there's no distinct anything, I wonder if perhaps we've done this with God so much that we've diluted out who
yes,
God is.
Exactly right.
And that perhaps in prayer, It's going to crystallize who God is, and we're afraid of that.
That's right. And you know what? When the world looks at Christians, and we're hollering and screaming about the lack of morals and standards in our culture, when they look at us, if they do not see the power of God, if they do not see a difference, a higher standard, a love for God and a love for other people, what in the world is going to draw them to our faith? So that's why the enemy wants us lukewarm, because it is the most dangerous place to be. And the world will look at us and say, so what? But when we are demonstrating the power of God and we're passionate about our prayer, passionate about our worship, passionate about staying away from things that dishonor the Lord, and the world sees a difference and sees the favor of God that only He can provide. When God moves in our hearts and in our midst and brings unity and brings healing and shows off in ways that only God can show off, then there's no doubt, okay, there's something different about those people. But when we are lukewarm, when we're in a compromising state, when we have hidden sin in our own lives, the Lord will not bless that. And so the world will look at us and say, so what? Mm-hmm. And so that's where America is. Okay. When we fight and say, hey, this standard's wrong, or this proclamation, or this political correctness is wrong, they'll say, so what? Or they'll argue against us because they don't see the power of God.
Right.
One thing that War Room demonstrates is that if we will get right with the Lord, get our hearts right with
that's
Him,
right.
and then get specific in our prayer lives, we mm-hmm. challenge people, write down the specific things you want to believe God for and start engaging the Lord in prayer.
And you too, as brothers, have seen that work in your lives with your dads, with your kids, and anybody
over
who
and
hasn't
over.
Listened to yesterday's show needs to listen to yesterday's show, because you talked about that. So what you write about is deep inside. You've lived it. It's real. You've tasted it. And you've actually seen that.
And even making this movie, we had one answered prayer after another. You know, we begged God for the right location. The Lord threw open the doors to the locations we filmed at. And it was ridiculous how many people said, not only are we going to let you come shoot at these locations, we're going to help you along the way. Do you need transportation? Do you need food? Do you need prayer warriors? Do you know, what do you need to shoot this movie? We had 85 churches run and say, what can we do to help you, when we shot the movie in Charlotte. And it was unbelievable, the unity we had. And again, we started and ended every day with prayer. The script was prayed over. Our cast and crew was prayed over. People got saved on set, which was incredible. And again, when God shows up, and in ways only He can, you know, He can show up and doing things only He can do, He gets the credit and the glory, and that's where the glory is deserved.
That's right.
We don't deserve glory.
It's so clear.
That's right.
And the more God moves in your life, and the more power that He uses through you, the smaller you become.
That's right.
And you just tend, and I tell people, it's kind of like riding the top of a wave down a river. You know, and I have experienced in my career, in my profession, the exact same thing you guys are talking about. God moves.
That's
and
right.
when you're listening and you're attentive to God, God moves. We think, even on our little lanyards here, it says, be strong and courageous. As Christians, we feel that courage and boldness are about speaking boldly. This movie is not about that, is it? This movie is about the courage and the boldness are entering into those private, secret places.
That's right.
Alone with the Lord, and letting His power, begging for His power to rip across
exactly
the land, isn't
right.
it?
Exactly right. And speaking boldly only comes after your heart and the direction from the Lord are set. You know, you don't speak boldly first. You get right with God, and you need God's hand on
you
first.
We make that mistake, don't we?
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
if we're not
ahead of
walking
God.
In the power of the Holy Spirit, and He's not giving us the words to say and the courage in the moment, we're going to cower, or we'll say we'll say foolish things. And so Alex is exactly right. When we're getting right with the Lord, it says in Proverbs, the righteous are bold as a lion. And when Peter had the Holy Spirit come upon him, he was so bold in his culture and in the generation. And so one thing that we try to do in War Room is to demonstrate even behind the scenes what we're trying to communicate on the screen.
Yeah.
There's a scene in the movie where Miss Clara shows Elizabeth her wall of remembrance. It's all of these pictures of answered prayer in her life. We have a wall of remembrance at Kendrick Brothers of these different photos that each demonstrate an answer to prayer in our lives. And we would encourage people, go back and share with your children how you've prayed and how God's answered. Show them the evidence of that. Show them the check that was written when you were praying for the need. You know, show them the date you begin to pray for someone to come to Christ, and then when it happened. Let God's power be demonstrated in your life and make it known to other people.
Yeah, there's two quick things we would urge people to do. Number one, develop a prayer strategy for your life, your children, your spouse, your family, and then even our country. Coming from Scripture, how are you praying over yourself, your spouse, your children? And we're not talking about convenient prayers. We're not talking about before a meal, a trip, or just when you feel bad. We're talking about daily seeking the Lord. What did Jesus do? He daily sought the Lord.
War prayers.
That's right. Get into a place where you are not distracted and spend time purposefully, not just conveniently, spend time with the Lord. And secondly, you remind yourself of what the Lord has done and you build a wall of remembrance. What I mean by that is whether it's written in calligraphy, however you want to do it, of the things the Lord has done in your life, that you would recall and remember how great our God is and encourage one another. What is the New Testament? Do we go through the hall of faith in Scripture where we're reminded how Moses believed, how Joseph believed, how David believed? And you go through and you build one another up with this. And so remember what God has done in your life, and you build a prayer strategy for how you're praying and seeking the Lord, and then watch what God does. Mm.
I love it. You know, so many times we think of, you know, prayer as, well, you know, you just sit down and you wait for God and you just sort of sit there and you kind of have Christian meditation, but it doesn't work that way, does it?
No.
Yeah.
God wants us to engage Him with all of our mind, our whole, our heart, our soul, our strength. I would encourage people to get very specific in what you're praying for. And let me ask you this question. If God told you He would give you everything you prayed for in this next week, how would you pray differently?
Oh, yeah.
Because Jesus said, if we abide in Him and His words abide in us, ask what you will and it will be done for you. Elijah was very specific in what he prayed for. And James chapter 5 says, if we get right with the Lord, it says the prayer of the righteous is powerful and effective. If we get right with the Lord and right with other people, there's no bitterness or unconfessed sin in our hearts, then we can pray very specifically and strategically. And at that point, we just need to be persistent and wait on the Lord. George Mueller, at the end of his life, had 50,000 documented answers to prayer. 5,000 of those were answered on the day he prayed them. No. That means 10% on the day he prayed him. But the others, he just kept waiting on the Lord. And God would send exactly what he needed in his perfect timing.
Now, we're not saying treat God like a genie in a lamp. We're not saying that. We're not saying ask God whatever you want, He will give it to you. We're saying He can give it to you. And if it honors Him, He will give it to you. But to seek the Lord's face first, to seek after God and not just things. And let me say this too. I'm going to paint a picture of a train. You've got your engine and you've got your passenger cars. The number one thing is not the protection of God or the promises of God. The number one thing is the person of God. Seek God Himself
first. Not what He's going to give you,
that's right,
dole out, answer for you.
That's right.
But it's His person.
Because it's not about you more than it is about Him. So we seek Him and His face first. Mm-hmm. And as we seek Him and get right with Him, all these other things, what did Jesus say? Seek first the kingdom of God.
That's right.
And then all these things will answer. So let's get our priorities right. Let's get right with God. Get rid of sin. Repent, as 2 Chronicles 7:14 says. We get right with God and we seek His face. And then you start praying and seeking Him and all these other parts behind the train. Mm-hmm. These are the protection of God, the priorities of God, the promises of God, the provision of God, all these other things follow the person of God. So America's really good at saying, God, I need this and I want it right now.
I want stuff. Yeah. Give me stuff, yeah. God, and then we'll stay tight. If you don't, forget it. Alex and Stephen Kendrick, this movie is going to be extraordinary. I would ask our listening audience to pray for the distribution, the infiltration of this movie in every land and every place so that our world will be changed. This is God. This is the power in the hand of God. And as I said, I am so excited for it to come out because Miss Claire is my new hero.
People can go to warroomthemovie.com if they want to watch the trailer.
Great.
And we have War Room movie resources and things out there. Our desire is to call the church back to prayer,
yes,
to make churches houses of prayer for all nations. So we challenge people in your small group, in your Sunday school group, and with your church, use War Room and use these resources to help equip your church in praying right now.
I know this is going to bless God. This is God's heart. This is God's heart, is for us to just come and enjoy Him. Thank you. God's blessing.
Thank you,
God bless
the
movie.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Meeker has it exactly right. Prayer is God's heart. I believe War Room showed that so powerfully, and with the record-breaking sales across the country and around the world, it's clear that many of you felt the same way. More importantly, though, prayer should be the heart of every believer. So let me take this opportunity to let you know that here at Family Talk, we are honored to pray with you and to pray for you. Every single morning in our devotionals, our staff takes time out to pray specifically and individually for your prayer requests. If you need prayer, or if you need help becoming a prayer warrior, I urge you to contact us at 877-732-6825 or at drjamesdobson.org to allow us to pray for you and to pray with you. Until next time, this is Ryan Dobson saying God bless. Thanks for listening today, and we'll see you again next time for another Best of the Best broadcast edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not associated with Focus on the Family. Some programs live on in your heart long after the broadcast ends. Now you can listen to them whenever you want. We've selected 18 of the most popular broadcasts of the year and presented them together on 6 audio CDs in the 2015 Family Talk Best of Broadcast Collection. Join Dr. Dobson, Dr. Meg Meeker, Ryan Dobson, and incredible guests on memorable broadcasts such as Dr. Ben Carson, Francis Chan, and Alex Kendrick in this compelling audio collection. Request your CD set as our thank you for your suggested donation of $50 or more to support the ministry of Family Talk. Your gift today will be doubled by a generous matching grant. Join Dr. Dobson in serving families by calling 877-732-6825 or visit drjamesdobson.org. Thank you.